Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positively getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with GBMC. And I have my special occasion coming up 2 weeks from now, but special occasion when I come out and have crab cakes and give away these Raven scratch offs from the Maryland Lottery. Had a lucky batch at Coco's Pub. I scanned a few winners for two lovely ladies, a retired school teacher who won $20 and proceeded to dance throughout Coco's after winning $20. And hey, man, crab cakes and coconut shrimp for free. That's what I'm talking about. Friday, we were at Pizza John's, and Luke Jones joined me along with Rasig and Todd Schuler and Bill Cole, some of my usual suspects to sit in. John Hoey from The Y also stopped by to talk about Turkey Trot. And Ron Cassie from Baltimore Magazine and a story about the Piscataway Indians of Maryland, as well as. They wanted to talk Mets. You know how that goes. Luke was there. Luke and I and Rasig, we did this long segment on fixing the Orioles. And at least for now, Luke, the Ravens are not broken, even at 4-5 this week. Because, quite frankly, and I think you alluded to this, most of the rest of the AFC is broken at this point, and that sort of opens the doors. I would say this, though, the thing that stood out for me over the weekend, it's something that you said in one of our earlier segments was, what did the Chiefs do to get better? What did Buffalo do to get better? Well, I don't know what the Ravens are going to do on their offensive line. We talked about Note Boone being a scratch and Ronnie Stanley and the importance of the offensive line and how that's going to power this thing and where the defense is. But for sure, this team had no pass rush, no semblance of a pass rush. They traded away probably their best pass rusher in OA 5 weeks ago and still had no answer. But they went out and they made an addition. And I'll tell you what, that dude ran around out there for 3 or 4 days, and he was noticeable on third down.
Yeah, that was good to see. I mean, Draymond Jones got the start. He ended up playing, I think it was in the neighborhood of 30, right around 40 snaps, 39 snaps, as I look at the official game book after the win on Sunday. And to your point, he flashed, right? And I think he's a really interesting individual, as you know, as I've had more time to process the trade and certainly read what others have had to say and kind of looked at his history. I mean, he was drafted out of Ohio State. I mean, he was a defensive tackle, right? I mean, he had a bigger frame. Now, he did point out in the post game in Minnesota on Sunday that the listed 281 pounds that he still is, that he's not that. He certainly has gotten lighter, and that reflects in the fact that he's become much more of an edge player the last couple of years rather than a guy that's kicking inside as often. But Zach Gore talked about it. John Harbaugh talked about it. Those guys absolutely like the idea that Draymond Jones has some inside-outside versatility, and I think you saw that show up. There were some obvious passing situations on Sunday where they kicked him inside to more of a three technique. I mean, you kind of look at the Ravens' defensive line right now, and they have nose tackles. I mean, Travis Jones, you know, John Jenkins, even Taven Bryan, who they've elevated from the practice squad a couple weeks now. I mean, they have, you know, CJ Okoye, you know, the former practice squad guy. Nice story there. They have no shortage of one technique options, but where they miss Matt Ibike so much is they just don't have a lot of three technique guys, you know, guys that can rush off the shoulder of the guard and with success. So if you can have Draymond Jones do that a little bit, he's not going to do that a whole lot. He's still primarily going to be an edge rusher for them. But if you can have that element that just allows you to, you know, run some more games with your defensive line, some stunts, some twists, different things like that, that you're hoping you can create more of a pass rush. Draymond Jones isn't Terrell Suggs, right? He's not you know, he's not TJ Watt. He's not a miracle worker, not someone who's going to move the needle dramatically, I wouldn't think, but he can help. And it's why the Ravens sent a fifth round pick. And if you look at the condition, that was a conditional fifth round pick. You know, Albert Breer put this out that if he collects at least two more sacks and the Ravens make the playoffs, that turns into a fourth round pick. So I think the Ravens, Eric DaCosta, made that trade with the assumption that that's probably going to be a fourth round pick, you know, if things go the way they want it to. So that's not nothing in terms of a rental piece. You know, that's an actual asset. Not that a fourth round pick should be, you know, a non-starter as it pertains to trade for a rental, but it's something that you'd rather not give up. A seventh round pick, sixth round pick, at the end of the day, it's not that big of a deal. Fourth round pick can be something that can turn into something. So you're hoping that Draymond Jones can make an impact. The fact that he played in Tennessee under Denard Wilson and he was with Mike McDonald last year in Seattle speaks to how quickly he was able to pick up the system, how what his
Well, it kind of
comfort level
speaks the
is.
language, right? Kind of
Yeah,
thing, right?
exactly. I mean, he was able, that's why he
Which
was
is
able to play.
ideal when you deal for a guy in week nine, right?
Sure. Well, not just, but also like he arrives on Tuesday, practice for the first time on Wednesday, and then he's playing 39 snaps on Sunday. I mean, I'm guessing his workload could go up a little bit more, but probably not too much more than that. I mean, for the most part, you don't want your edge rushers playing more than, I don't know, 50 snaps, 55 if you're talking about someone that is really, really good. I mean, they don't have anyone that you that really profiles as, oh, that's going to be an every snap kind of guy lining up at the edge. They just don't have that player. So, but I think he can help, and he showed up on Sunday, and that was good to see. Again, it's not going to fix all their pass rush woes. It's still a major concern of mine moving forward. And one of my biggest concerns about this football team is its ability to pressure the quarterback with any level of consistency. But they did have a better pressure rate on Sunday, and they were able to get after McCarthy, and that was good to see. So we'll see how that carries over these next couple weeks as you're going to presumably face Dillon Gabriel, who has not been very good for the Cleveland Browns. Not a big surprise there. And then whatever, whoever's going to play, whether it's Fields or Tyrod Taylor for the Jets in a couple weeks, presumably Fields. But you've got a chance now. You're not going to be going up against quarterbacks that have a high aptitude, so to speak, for playing the position at a high level in the NFL. So, you've got a chance to continue to work out that defensive front, try some things, and hope you can continue to get after the quarterback after taking a nice step on Sunday and liking what I saw from Draymond Jones.
Well, we talked a lot of AFC, about playoff possibilities, and we'll do more of that. But I want to talk about the league in general because when the 1 o'clock game wrapped up, I was stuck into three NFC games and a felon con that should be in prison hanging out with Kenny Albert on my television screen, saying a bunch of gibberish. It was all NFC teams, and I'm watching that thing. We talked a little bit about Seattle and McDonald and how that thing's turned around as well. Just the picture of the whole NFL, this feels like a very transition-oriented year in a lot of ways. In that Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo taking a step backwards early in the year, they might be three of the final four teams in January. That wouldn't shock anybody. The NFC emerging teams, certainly in the West, where we don't know what those teams are. And you said the Rams impressed you, the 49ers, and the comeback, and this and that. The fact that they've ever done it with Brock Purdy is kind of a crazy thing. The Shanahan system really is. And I know Mike Silver, I've been trying to catch up with him to promote his book for Christmas time. So I'm hoping to get him on to talk to him because we don't play the 49ers this year. But around the league, there are no super teams. Let's start with that. I don't know that there's any super player. I don't know that anybody thinks like Lamar, Josh Allen, Mahomes, that if you have a player like maybe in the NBA or not that the Dodgers were about Ohtani, but that you would have Tom Brady or that Mahomes would give you that kind of an advantage. Maybe on a one-on-one basis in a January game, I would take Mahomes over Bo Nix or Justin Herbert or any of these guys. But that being said, the perception of the league right now and where it is and the competitiveness of it, the fact that we made fun of the Dolphins last week. They're not making fun of the Dolphins in Buffalo this week.
Yeah, and it speaks to, as much as we try to do this transitive property of this team A beats team B, and that means that team A is better than team C because team C are lost, you know
We
what I
got
mean.
that wrong with
Like
the Vikings and the Lions last
we
week
do
for
that
us.
constantly, and it's proven wrong on a weekly basis. So yeah, I mean, I think I put it this way. I do think the NFC I think is a better conference at this point in time. It feels like the NFC, the top of the top teams in the NFC feel more formidable than the top teams in the AFC. That said, to push back a little bit on what you just said, I don't care what the record is right now. You're playing Patrick Mahomes in January. No one's feeling good about that. Josh Allen, other than when the Bills play Patrick Mahomes, if you're facing Josh Allen, You're not feeling great
That's
about
why I
that.
think the records don't mean anything. It, you know, if there's a playoff game and the Ravens are playing the Colts or the Broncos or like
Well,
I look at those teams and say, I don't care if they win 13 games. You know, that's great. I'd rather play, you know, Daniel Jones or Mac Jones or Luke Jones than I want to play
certainly
Patrick
Luke Jones.
Mahomes. You know, that's it,
Yeah,
you know, period.
sure. And that's fine. And I don't disagree with that general notion, but at the same time, and this is going to come from a guy who typically won't give running backs too much credit in situations where I don't think it's warranted. See what Jonathan Taylor's doing for the Colts this year? I mean, if it's ever going to happen again, because of what you just said, you don't have, you know, I would say, I think Matthew Stafford, go look at his numbers in LA right now. He's had a great season, especially I think back to August with all the questions about his back and whether he's going to be healthy. And it kind of feels like in hindsight, that was more, well, we're taking care of an old
Dude,
guy. We're
he's a
not going
really underappreciated cat all this
to, he's a
year's
really
into
good
this.
player. Really, really, really good player. You know, lost for a long time in Detroit. And, you know, when you're a quarterback, that losing is attached to you, right? I mean,
Dude, Matt Ryan's gonna have a hard time getting in the Hall of Fame because he blew one lead in one game, right? Like you get into that game and you do well or don't do well. In the case of Stafford, he won a Super Bowl, but it's like Flacco, you want to take it away from him in some way. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's where you kind of look at Stafford. You know, if he wins MVP and the Rams can win another Super Bowl with him, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer then, right? I mean, it feels that
Well,
way.
John Harbaugh
But
feels that way if Lamar gets him there, right?
to go back to, you know, to not, because I don't want to spend 20 minutes talking about MVP. I had my fill of MVP talk late last year with the Lamar versus Josh Allen debate that some people on social media still won't let go one way or the
But
other.
there hasn't been any
But
super player thus far this year to
yeah,
talk
I
about
mean,
that.
Stafford's had a really good year. But that's why I said if there's a year, if a running back is ever to win the MVP ever again, and we know MVP has become most valuable quarterback, and we know the quarterbacks are the most valuable, right? I'm not necessarily even saying that that's wrong. The quarterback is overwhelmingly the most valuable position. But if there is ever a year remaining that a running back potentially wins the MVP, I mean, Jonathan Taylor is having an incredible year, you know, especially look at how many touchdowns he has already. So you look at that game, which I didn't get a chance to see all of that game as I was, you know, saw the beginning of it, went to church, came back, watched the end of it. But, you know, you look at that, you know, that long touchdown that, what, 83 yards with 6 minutes to go. I mean, takes it to the house. And I mean, he carried the ball, what, 32 times on Sunday? I mean, you just don't see much of that anymore. I mean, here in Baltimore, we think of Derrick Henry as this workhorse, right? How many times has Derrick Henry carried the ball 30 plus times in his year and a half now with the Ravens? I mean, you don't see that. So it does speak to what he's done. And it's why the Colts are 8-2, right? I mean, Daniel Jones, it's been a nice story. To your point, is anyone fearing the Colts quarterback play come January? No. You might be uneasy about other elements of that team, beginning with Taylor, but I mean, it just speaks to what Jonathan Taylor
Well, it
has
doesn't
done.
feel
But
like beating the Chiefs 2 years ago, right? To me, none of these teams feel that way.
no. Well,
Or
and then
beating the Patriots in their day, or beating the Ravens when they were great, or
yeah, but at the same time, I mean, there's always the beginning, right? I mean, in 2018, the Chiefs scored all these points, and okay, I'll fully acknowledge New England got them in the AFC title game, but we also know what kind of game that was, and look at what kind of dynasty started there. So, you know, these teams always start out at one point in time. Josh Allen, it was up in the air whether he was truly going to be a franchise quarterback, right? His first year or two in the league, there was plenty of questions about his consistency and whether he'd be accurate enough. Lamar Jackson, I mean, my goodness, teams wanted him to work out as a wide receiver. I mean, you never really know. But yeah, you look at this thing in the AFC, it feels as wide open in October and November than it's felt in a long time. That said, come
If the Ravens
January,
win 9 games in a row and go to Green Bay and freight train them and look the part of that team, if somehow the offensive line can round in, just the offensive line, not the pass rush, not defensively giving up 20, 24 points a game. I'm just talking about their capabilities as an offense from a skill position. They are still the team, and I saw Bill Cowher digging the snow out of Buffalo 2 weeks ago. They're still the team that you don't want to see in January. And you'd say that out loud if they round into that. I don't think Pittsburgh can round into that. I don't think Kansas City, even from a skill position point of view, can round into that. Buffalo has real problems at wide receiver and real problems on the defensive line, right? With Oliver. So there are deficiencies throughout the powerhouse teams. Now, if you want to make a case for Denver or the Chargers, or, I mean, look, if the Ravens lose to one of those teams in January, shame on you, John Harbaugh. No Canton for you, John Harbaugh. I mean, getting bounced by one of the real quarterbacks is one thing. Getting bounced by Bo Nix or getting bounced by Daniel Jones in January, if you're Lamar Jackson and you're Marlon Humphrey and you're Roquan, that, I don't know, man. That would feel inferior to me if they get to that point. But then again, I'm wearing a purple shirt, purple Curio shirt, by the way, foreign daughter. And I'm not seeing this through purple colored eyes. If nothing else, I get accused of being too hard on the team or unfair because they've been unfair to me. I still think they're the most talented team on paper if you got to come in and play on paper. If you got to play them off the bus, healthy, healthy. I don't know. The Ravens could be that team that is 9-1 the last 9 weeks, 10 weeks of the season, and the team that, yeah, they only got 10 wins, but you don't want to see them. I mean, I think way more about that. I don't think the Colts can be that. I don't think the Broncos or even New England can be that, can be thought of as, even if they win 14 games, that they're the big bad wolf. I don't think that's possible, those three teams.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just, it's a lot of looking ahead right now, and because we don't know what these teams are going to look like, we don't know what the how these teams are going to finish. I mean,
just trying to make the playoffs in New England, and
I
like
mean,
they're just trying to hold on and say, well, we
no,
started 8-2, we go, if we go 4-4, you know, or we go 3-3, you know,
I don't know. Have you
we'll
seen
win
New
11 or
England?
12 games,
Have
you
you seen
know.
the rest of their schedule though? I mean, I'm looking at it right now.
Go for it.
Home against the Jets, at Cincinnati, home against the Giants, bye week. So they have a late season bye. We've talked about that being advantageous about the Ravens here in recent years before this year. And then, I mean, these are the two games for them. These are the two games that they're going to be able to prove whether, like, okay, you've taken care of a really easy schedule. Hats off to you, but you're not for real. They play against Buffalo December 14th, and then they go to Baltimore December 21st. You know, they win those two games. You know, and then they finish up at the Jets home against Miami. I mean, they win those two games. There's a path for them to be like 15-2, maybe. I mean, look, I'm guessing they probably
Well, if
won't
they
be.
beat the Ravens the week before Christmas, then they beat the Ravens, and you'd say
Or if they
they're
beat
a better
Buffalo,
team.
yeah.
I
Well,
mean, at least the Ravens are going to get to measure themselves, as is New England. You know, all these teams are going
sure.
to measure themselves because they have to go and continue to win, including the Ravens, who didn't measure up against the Lions and the Rams a month and a half ago. But now they're going to be the ones beating up on the Jets and beating up on the Browns the next,
Yeah.
and the gimpy Bengals on short rest here to wow the world on Thanksgiving night, because we're going to wake up on Black Friday being 7-4 after starting the season 1-5, or 7-5 after starting the season 1-5, right?
But to your point, I mean, wherever the standings ultimately shake out, right? I mean, we still have such a long time. I mean, we're 10 games, you know, 10 weeks into the season at this point in time. We have 8 weeks to go. You know, Kansas City and Buffalo are still the You know that they played last week, and let's call a spade a spade. That's what everyone still views as being the two, Kansas City up here, but then Buffalo just below them, and then you have the Ravens, and then everyone else. That was the perception. That's been the perception over the last few years. And whether Kansas City rebounds to win that division or whatever seed they are, same with Buffalo with their division. Those are still the two teams that no one wants to play. I mean that's just the truth. Yeah, the Ravens.
Well, and they're both at risk of not making the playoffs, much
Sure.
more so than the
Well,
Ravens in regard to,
I mean
you know, they'll have to win
I mean
games,
Buffalo's still
right?
6-3. I mean let I know we're killing them for losing to Miami, but they're still 6-3. I mean
They've given themselves enough
they're
rest,
still
right?
in good position, and I will continue to say I still think Kansas City from a true talent level standpoint, and you look at the wide receiver position for them, I still think they have the potential to be a better team than they've been the last couple of years.
Are they both going to win their division in your mind? As we said, that's probably the real question here,
Yeah.
because if they win their division by a hair, in the way that the Ravens could win their division by a hair over Pittsburgh, if you win the division, it's a whole different gig thinking about New England, Indianapolis, and Denver on the road than at home, and where they've been the first 8 weeks, and what kind of collapse that would take for those franchises, that New
Yeah.
England starts getting scuffed up by Miami and comes to Baltimore and takes a 12-point loss here. You know, that you think about them differently. They're just a part of the pack at that point. That would mean that Buffalo and Kansas City have emerged. I mean, that is the worst nightmare for the Ravens. The worst nightmare is an awakening for them, as it is for their worst nightmare is that the Ravens win the division by hair and you lose your division by hair if you're Buffalo and you got to come here week one. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sure, they don't want to do that, but you also you don't want to play those teams in the first round, even if you are at home, right? I mean, that's why I kind of said the irony of
Yeah,
how this.
Buffalo coming here in week one of the playoffs won't feel like we did anything.
Right. I mean, and unless you win, and then it feels, oh, all right, it's on, right? So
But
who
it won't
knows,
feel
but.
like a prize, you know, a division winning prize if Kansas City or Buffalo trot in here because
It's just.
Denver or New England went out.
I will say this, and I'm almost going to sound contradictory here because I just said, well, they are still 6-3. You look at Buffalo, they've already had their bye week. They are home against Tampa Bay. You know, Bucks are really
Dangerous.
banged up. They're really banged up,
Yeah.
but they're still a team that good quarterback, certainly dangerous. But then after that, they have four of their next five on the road after that, at Houston, at Pittsburgh, home against Cincinnati, at New England, at Cleveland. Now, I'm not saying that those are five unbelievable opponents that they're facing, but
They're gonna have to go win.
going to Pittsburgh, hey, we haven't even mentioned the Houston Texans winning with Davis Mills and their crazy comeback against Jacksonville on Sunday. And another result where you say this league makes no sense, right? Anyone who fancies themselves on being an NFL expert, you're made to look a fool every single week
I'm made to
with
look
one
a
of these
fool every time
games.
I talk about Trevor
Yeah.
Lawrence as though he's still playing at Clemson.
I just don't think Trevor Lawrence is very good, quite frankly. But yeah, you look at that stretch, and then they finish up with, they have Philadelphia in week 17, and then the Jets, to close the regular season. Kansas City, you look at their schedule as they're coming out of their bye. I mean, at Denver, that's a huge game for the AFC West, right? Home against Indianapolis, at Dallas on Thanksgiving, home against Houston, home against the Chargers, at Tennessee, home against Denver, at Las Vegas. So I mean, you heard me mention Denver and the Chargers. I mean, there you go as far as trying to figure out what that AFC West is going to look like. I mean, I think all three of those teams feel like playoff teams to me, but only one's going to win the division. And is there going to be, do they cannibalize each other a little bit where you do have one of those teams that's in danger of being on the outside looking in, which, Kansas City mathematically in week 10, and who cares because it's week 10, but
Move the
that's where
Ravens
they.
game to 1 o'clock this week so I can watch the Chiefs game.
What's that?
Can we move the Ravens game to one
Oh,
o'clock?
yeah.
I mean, the Chiefs Broncos a 4 o'clock game this week. They're simultaneous
How
to us.
odd is the Ravens Browns game being at 425?
Well, I think
That's
it's a
just so
television issue
weird.
with all the 1 o'clock games. They need to put
No,
on a game at 2 o'clock. That's all.
I know, but the 425, that's the double header window, right? I mean, you can have a game at 405, and that tells you, well, that's just kind of it's a late game for regional purposes. But yeah, so, but my point is with this, I mean, you laid out the scenario if the Ravens go 11-6, right? They win all but one game from the time they were 1-5 until the end of the regular season. What's not to say Kansas City's not going to do that? What's not to say Buffalo's not going to do that? I'm guessing none of them are going to actually do that, where they basically run the table. But if we're going to talk
Well,
in those terms
division's on the
about,
line this week. Does Kansas City going to Denver? If they lose that
yeah, I
game,
mean, that's a
they're
big game. But at the same time, we're talking about a Broncos team that won 10-7.
Chiefs are
I had.
favored. The Chiefs are favored in Denver, so there's no thought that anybody thinks much of Denver or any of these teams on the betting line. On a betting line, the Ravens are still, the Ravens are still very well thought of, and
Vegas loves the Ravens.
that's why their records Kansas City, Buffalo, and the Ravens being second shelf right now, all of them across the board, makes the AFC such a jigsaw puzzle.
I mean,
It's a fun
look,
season in that way. It
no,
really is.
it's very fun. I mean, because you have, I mean, we were talking about this when the Ravens were 1-5, right? I mean, the idea that the Ravens, when you're 1-5, the idea that you could go 7-4 the rest of the way, 7-4 in 11 games, that's a quality record. It's not like, oh, you're going to win the Super Bowl, but that's a playoff caliber kind of
It's
run.
going to put you in the tournament to win the Super Bowl. That's all you really need to be anyway,
No,
right?
but I'm just saying, but when you're 1-5, or if you're in Kansas City's case where they're 5-4, like you drop a couple more tough division games, then boy, it's getting hairy in terms of even making it as a wild card then, right? Same thing for the Ravens. Like if the Ravens had stubbed their toe against Minnesota on Sunday, or let's say, heaven forbid, they do it again against the Browns, right? But because they've done it once a season against the Browns 4 straight years. Like if something like that happens, then boy, you look at that last 3 or 4 week stretch of the season and say, man, you better not, this can go south, you know? And that's where the Ravens still are. As much as it feels really good right now, you still are only 4-5, and you're still a couple key injuries away from suddenly being in a tailspin again, right? I mean, you know, I don't need to state the obvious as far as the individuals I'm talking about here, but you know, they've got to stay healthy. They've got to win the games they're supposed to win, and you know, keep your head down, right? But because you keep your head down, you just keep winning games. You compartmentalize. The AFC is on its head right now, right? I mean, yeah, I think New England's good. I don't know if they're great. Yeah, I give New Indianapolis credit, and I think Jonathan Taylor's amazing at the running back position, but saw what they did against Pittsburgh last week, and Denver. I think Denver's defense is really good. You know, I like their defense a lot, but they also scored 10 points against the Raiders on Thursday night, right? So I don't know just how real any of these teams really are. So that's where if you're the Ravens at 4-5, just keep winning. Just keep winning, and we're going to see how this thing shakes out. I think the NFC is, you know, you have Philadelphia, you have the Rams, you have the Seahawks. I still think Detroit's really good. Green Bay, Green Bay 2 weeks into the season, I thought maybe they were the best, and I've been quite underwhelmed by the Packers since then. But they're still five, you know, going into a Monday night tilt. You know, they're first place in their division, so you never really know. But you know, that's what makes this so fun. We. As funny as it sounds to say this, because we're talking about an AFC where Kansas City has represented the conference in the Super Bowl, what, 5 of the last 6 years? It feels really, really, really wide open. As wide open as it can feel, acknowledging the Chiefs are still there. So, you know, we're going to see how this plays out in the Ravens. They're going to have their say in this. You know, there are enough games on that schedule for the Ravens to not just win the division, but get to a record that will force teams to take notice of them and force teams to say, I really don't want to play Baltimore in the first round. I'd rather not see Baltimore come here for the divisional round. But it's a long way to go between now and then, right? I mean, it's such a long way to go. So
But
I
the fact
think
that the Ravens are in that conversation again
it's
when they
great.
really weren't 3 weeks ago at all, and now not only in the conversation, but you and I don't have to pull any punches or pull any quarter on whether they could be successful in the coming weeks to say, don't make plans in January. I mean, and I told folks that when they were 1-5. I did not start making international plans on January 10th, thinking like the season's going to be over. And I certainly, there's no part of me that believes that at this point, given the pedigree of all this, and really just seeing Pittsburgh spit it up. You know what I mean? Pittsburgh's the only team sort of in the way to win the division. And I think Cincinnati could beat the Ravens twice with Flacco. Maybe. I don't. I mean, I don't think Cincinnati stinks to the, and they're not the
Their
pushover that
defense
Cleveland is.
stinks. Their defense stinks.
I'll agree with all of that,
And
but
that was true last
I
year
still
too.
think you got to go play 60 minutes against them.
Sure.
And because
You
I've
have to
seen
do
them
that against
play.
anyone. I mean, again, Shame on anyone if they're just going to assume that the Ravens can just roll the ball out and win on Sunday when
Do
you
what I
saw
did
what
when the
happened.
Colts schedule came out. I was like, get www, just put them in there. You know, that's what we're doing right
I
now,
mean,
guys.
I mean, we can do it, but if you're John Harbaugh and the Ravens, you're reminding your people all week about what happened to Buffalo against that Miami team that had just fired their general manager. We saw how bad that team looked in the second half. And by the way, I'll also toss the Raven a nod here. The fact that Buffalo lost to Miami in the way they did, and it's a division game, we know how that all works, but makes that Ravens win in Miami last Thursday night look a little bit better, right? I mean, makes that look a little
On
more.
short rest too.
Yeah, sure. And it was Lamar's first game back, and they hadn't
Win on the
all
road on
that.
Thursday night. I don't care who you play.
No,
That's not a layup at all.
but my point is, I mean, like the Dolphins, like credit them for manning up. I mean, for and I've been as critical of McDaniel as anyone, as far as,
Well, he's
you
already
know.
survived the storm, right? I mean, it's.
But I think the way they played, that's evident that they haven't quit on him, right? And look, Buffalo was bad in that game. You know, I mean, Josh Allen, bad game for Josh Allen, turning the ball over and kind of doing the things that he's been so good at not doing the last couple of years, which is, you know, I mean, he's been very good taking care of the football when he wasn't as good at that early in his career. But, you know, it's such a cliche to fall back on, but it doesn't make it untrue. It's such a week-to-week league. It's a reminder that even whoever you think is the best team in the league compared to the absolute worst team in the league, the difference in talent isn't typically as dramatic as we think. There's a difference, certainly, but you've got to play good football and you've got to take care of it. You can't commit penalties. I mean, look at the Vikings on Sunday. If they don't commit eight false starts and JJ McCarthy doesn't lose his mind on a couple deep, you know, I'll hold Kevin O'Connell as responsible for that, you know, calling a deep ball on third and one, you know, at midfield, you know, you do things like that. I mean, that's how you get beat, right? I mean, that's so many games in the NFL are lost more so than they're won, you know, and again, this goes back to the Ravens. They didn't play a phenomenal football game on Sunday, but they really limited their mistakes in contrast to what the Vikings did. And, you know, they played well in certain areas and did just enough offensively, played well defensively. Special teams, I mean, we've gotten through this whole three segments now, I think, and I haven't mentioned DeAndre Jackson, you know, the unknown undrafted rookie safety who's made his way onto the 53-man roster and continues to show up on special teams. I mean, I don't know if that means that he's got a career future as a starter or anything like that, but man, that kid can play on teams. I mean, that forced fumble was a really big play in that football game on Sunday. So, you know, do things like that and limit the mistakes, limit the penalties, don't commit turnovers. You generally will have a chance most weeks in the NFL. And, you know, something Buffalo didn't do, something the Vikings didn't do against the Ravens. And that's why the Ravens were able to win a third straight game and are looking better and better in the overall outlook of this AFC that feels pretty confounding in terms of really trying to figure out exactly what's heads and tails.
Well, you know, last year I made a living when the Commanders played one extra week that the Ravens didn't play last year, calling them Maryland's team. Now that they stink again, and they got, the con man in their place, banished back to the DMV, moved to Virginia, building D. I don't care where you build it. I've never had any use for the Commanders. Is that better? Is it? Am I taking on my persona a little better for AI?
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, the one thing I'll say on them, it's been a bummer that Jaden Daniels is having these injuries mount because I think he's a really talented quarterback. But
It's the
yeah, I mean,
RG3 thing all over again, the Joe Burrow thing.
you
I mean,
hope not,
the
but
league is
man, it.
so tough in that way that if you can't play, the season's just Joe Burrow just, it's one more. It's just like these great players that can't get the post. And
Yeah. Availability. I mean, look, people have talked about Lamar Jackson's health for how many years now? And, you know, but you see, it can be something simple. It can Joe Burrow's gotten hurt in the pocket multiple times, right? I mean, it's you never know. So it really is a case of when you are healthy, and this will go back to my frustration with last year with the Ravens, how incredibly healthy they stayed over the course of 2024. That felt like the year that, not that they won't have chances with Lamar, because they will, but man, that felt like one of those top tier chances to be that healthy. And of course, the year before, when you number one seed, just the frustration of those 2 years. But hey, this year, 1-5, they're now 4-5. The schedule looks favorable. They've gotten really healthy, other than Matt Ibike. Like, you know, the guys have come back. Who knows? You know what? Look no further than the history of this franchise in 2012, with all they went through that year and how unimpressive they looked for stretches of that season. And then what happened in January 2000? They went 5 straight games without scoring a touchdown, and how unimpressive their offense was. And Billick finally giving in to the dark side, and all, you know, all that we don't need to recount. We all lived it. But those weren't teams that were like, looked like juggernauts for the bulk of the regular season. Just get in and see what happens, and just keep getting better, keep winning games, win the division. Win a division that doesn't look like it's going to be very good. So what, right? So just keep stacking wins. As Kyle Hamilton said, on top of that scar tissue from early in the season, and continue to see what happens.
He is Luke Jones. I am Nestor. Together, we bring you WNST and Baltimore Positive. We appreciate everybody out there following along on radio at AM 1570. I know we get a little dark early in the afternoons. That's why we're here 24 hours a day at Baltimore Positive and out on the web and our social media. I know we've picked up a lot of new people in the recent weeks. Appreciate all of you. Our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter give me this fantastic purple shirt to wear. They also sponsor our 27th anniversary and our tastiness treats that are all out on the internet as well. GBMC also coming in to support us for all that we're doing here locally. That's some great conversations about hip replacement, knee replacement, all sorts of medical issues, and of course, colonoscopy and PSA number and all the important things that I am learning about this month. 2 weeks away from my special appointment and my special pre-night milkshake and all the things that I've never done that I'm a little embarrassed at 57. So just a medical report for everybody out there. Take care of yourself. Stay safe. That's part of our charm here at Baltimore Positive, talking about that on behalf of our GBMC healthcare partners. Also, the Maryland Lottery puts us out on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And we have the Raven scratch-offs while they last. This has been a lucky batch. I am moving forward to pick up the candy cane because they smell. They smell. I like sniffy, scented tickets. And I also like rubbing off the schmutz here and picking winners like I did last week at Coco's, where I had a $20 winner on the Raven scratch-off. Maryland Lottery's out there reminding everybody, do this responsibly. Especially with all this crap in the news with Class A and what's going on with Ortiz and baseball and the NBA and all that stuff. Slow your roll, know your limits, but try to have some fun out there as well. A little briefer from me and the Maryland Lottery. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. Any breaking news that happens first on the WNST Tech Service. That is all brought to you by our friends at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Bill Cole joined me on Friday, had a long conversation about AI and youth sports and coaching. And of course, Cole Roofing can take care of any commercial roofing job, as well as Gordian Energy talking solar. And Bill talked all about solar and all that's going on that powers us here. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We're WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. Big week ahead. Beat the Browns. 4 o'clock. No 1 o'clock games.